Hello, amazing parents and caretakers, and welcome to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. I'm your family empowerment coach, Celia Kibler. I'm a mom of a blended family of five kids. I'm a grandma of nine kids, an author, a teacher, a speaker, and a consultant with over 40 years of training and real-life parenting experience. I'm here to offer you practical, doable tips, strategies, and techniques that will pump up your parenting skills and create peace, love, and laughter throughout your family. In addition, I'll be interviewing some great humans that are on a mission to make your life a better, happier, and healthier life. So let's not waste any time and get started with the next episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Thanks for listening. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Pumped Up Parenting. So excited that you've all joined us and you're ready to listen in because I have quite the guest for you today. Someone who's going to really give you valuable information for leaving the legacy you should be leaving for your kids. I mean, after all, we had kids for a reason. At least I hope you have a vision for your family. And this man is going to help you direct that vision. So I'd like to introduce you to David Roy Newby. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about him before I let him talk. David Roy Newby is a legacy coach to top entrepreneurs that went to forge lasting legacies of success by wielding the wisdom of King Solomon, the same wisdom that he used to build a $4 trillion fortune with his enterprises. As a popular speaker, David shares the stage with thought leaders, billionaires, and even royalty, including Robert Kiyosaki, David Green from Hobby Lobby, and the Rockefellers. He is the founder of the world's most exclusive billionaire fraternity, the Solomon Wisdom Society, and the author of multiple books that have been on bookshelves since 2006, including his recent number one bestseller that you should pick up today, Beyond Billions. Billions. Did I say that right? Yeah, Beyond Billions.
Yes, exactly.
So, David Roy Newby, welcome to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast.
Thank you so much, Celia. It's great to be with you. I love your energy.
Thank you. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm thinking of Hans and Franz. He wants to pump you up. Remember?
Yeah, George to pump. I know. I know. I actually have to credit my sister for that name because we went through a couple names before we settled on Pumped Up Parenting. And I like
your top is great. What I'm going to do is let's get a couple of balloons and put them in the shoulders, like the 80 shoulder pads. You can be Hans and I'll be friends.
There you go. We can do like that little dance that company where, you know, you buy their cards and they put your head on like dancing weird figures. That can be us. And, you know, so I have like, you know, a fitness background, nutrition background. I own, you know, a kids fitness company. So pumped up parenting was like very, you know, it was good. It was, you know, it blend.
It works.
It works. It does work. All right. So super excited to have you here. I'm so glad you are just a wealth of information, literally. And, you know, I know there's not going to be enough stuff to talk about, enough time to talk about all the stuff that we could be talking about, but we're going to start somewhere. So this is where we're going to start. Family legacy, in my eyes, is just so important. Vision for your family is just so important. You know, I teach my parents, my clients, how to create a vision statement for their family, like any business does. And, you know, you have to have direction. You have to have goals. You have to see what your future is going to be like. So I would love to ask you what you feel like are the key parts to creating a family legacy.
Yes, certainly. Thank you for that question. I grew up from a very dysfunctional family, and the men were actually very, very abusive. And what I found was actually that there's several men, like my stepdad and my grandfather, both killed family members. And so I had to learn how to be wise in order to be intentional about my family. I realized if I wasn't intentional, like it would go really bad. And thank God my mother saw me going down the path of being violent as a very young boy. And she really guided me towards wisdom. And she actually made me memorize a lot of Bible verses about how to deal with anger productively, you know, for your Jewish background, the Torah, right? And so that is what I was very fortunate to have, a mother who was intentional, because I could very easily be in prison for murdering somebody, you know, following that bad family pattern. And like you just said, we need to be intentional. If we're not intentional, we're just going to follow what is normal. And we normally think of what we grew up as normal. And sadly, our parents' normal is usually not optimal. And we all do our very best. But without that next level intentionality, we leave a lot of key things out. So I think there's a lot of great estate planning and succession planning people out there. But the biggest mistake, Celia, is that when people think about, what am I going to leave my kids? They first think about money. And that's the last thing you should think about. You should think, how do I pass on intentional great values and skill sets to them? And so I usually help people focus a lot on value. So I love the fact that you help people create a family vision statement and mission statement, because I agree 100%. I like to tell people that are business owners, your family is the most important division of your business.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know about mothers you've dealt with, but with me, like with fathers I've dealt with, they think of their business over here and then their family over here, and they think of them as separate. And I'm like, no, your business is here and your family is the most important division. So think of it as your top level division. And when men make that shift in thinking, then they like, okay, wow, well, how do I apply business best practices to empower my family and make that a really successful division the same way I empower all the other divisions of my company? And so that's the first shift I encourage each parent to make. If you own a business, think of the things that way. And even if you don't own a business, really be intentional. It's like, what are the values you want to pass on to your kids, and write those down, and then create a game plan to teach those to your kids. So I always say, start with humility, because if you're prideful, whether you give your kids $1 million or 100,000, or you give them 100 billion, if you're Jeff Bezos, no matter what level of money you give them, if they're not humble, they will not know how to receive good advice. That's the number one foundation. Number two is be curious and be willing to learn from anyone. I like to say that I like to learn from the homeless people who sleep on the street in my wife's hometown in the Philippines. And because they have something to teach me about being grateful for what I have, just for the privilege of being born in America and how wealthy we are. And then also, you know, if you are talking to an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos, or think of whoever billionaire you like that you would like to learn from, like, King Solomon was worth $4 trillion in today's money. So he was worth the equivalent of 85% of all the world's billionaires combined in one business operation. And so I always encourage people, whether you're a billionaire or whether you're just starting off in life and you're a newlywed or you're just planning to have a family one day, be intentional and seek high level wisdom. Right? That's why I encourage people to read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, even if you're an agnostic or an atheist. Like, this is the highest level of wisdom that produced the greatest success ever. And the book of Proverbs is so practical. So be real intentional about the values you want to kids. So I think humility and learning to learn from others, this is what Solomon talks a lot about. Pride comes before a fall, but humility comes before honor. It's a powerful contrast. And also, wisdom is found in a multitude of counselors. If you teach your kids those two skill sets, they will be able to be successful in any endeavor, whether it's a business or a career, or being a great husband, a great mother, a great father, a great friend. So those are the two big foundational keys.
That is just so great. And, you know, like the tagline for Pumped Up Parenting is not by accident. You know, my tagline is because we're raising adults, not children. And that's what we're nurturing. That's what, they're already children. Your job is to nurture them into these confident, self-sufficient, smart, you know, educated, happy, kind, go on and on, adults, you know, and setting up a vision, setting up a culture in your family. Every family should have a culture. And what's that culture include? You know, it should include gratitude. It should absolutely include education. You should, your home should be a place of education. Have a tradition of learning something new every day. Discuss it over the dinner table. Tell each other before bed, you know, what did you learn today? So that yearning for learning is always part of their makeup and part of who they are, you know. And they, if they question something, which absolutely they should, they learn about it and find out, is this something I agree with, I don't agree with, forming their own opinions. And I just love that. And so important for families to know. And I love that you clarified legacy, because it is the first thing people think of. Legacy is like, well, what's my bank account going to be? But legacy is creating that person, you know, really giving that person the gifts to take pride in what they do, no matter what it is. And, you know, having a good, strong work ethic, believing in themselves, doing what they, you know, want to do, not doing things that people just expect them to do. It's all mm-hmm. those things. So to empower, if we're going to skip over to the financial way, because I know you speak about financial success failure. What is the best way to empower kids so that they feel like financial freedom is a possibility for them and they can avoid financial success failure?
Yeah, certainly. Great question. A lot of succession planning and estate planning are great. I mean, they're great for what their purpose is, right? Estate planning is usually how do you pass on your wealth to your kids and not have half of it go to the Uncle Sam after all the taxes we already paid, or whatever uncle you have in another country than the US. You know, succession planning, how do you pass on your business? Those things are both great. That values that we were just talking about, Celia, you're empowering your kids with the foundation of great values. You know, those, once you have that foundation built, now your kids will do great with whatever amount of money or the business you leave them. And so I think it's important, number one, to be willing to talk about money as a family and not have it be this taboo subject. Like if you look at the Rockefellers, they basically were just like, when you turned 18, they were taught humility and hard work ethic, but they did not have conversations around money. They had this old idea that talking about money is taboo. And so there was a real lack of empowerment when it comes to finances in that family. I'm not picking on them. That's just an example that one of the Rockefellers actually shared publicly. Okay. So I think it's good to talk about money and talk about the purpose of money and where our money comes from and the vitality of serving whoever you serve, you know, whether you're an engineer working for someone else or whether you own a multi-billion dollar corporation. So that servant leadership, I think, is key to wisely stewarding, to your kids wisely stewarding whatever money you leave them. I think that's the number one key. When you think about money and financial success failure, is because if money is not taught about and the kids are not empowered to appreciate where, how the money's created, they're not going to manage it well. Number two is, the other big key is, you touched on it in your question, Celia, don't make your kids feel like all I can do is run the family business. If you give your kid that option, and you say, if you don't, then you're cutting out of the will. A lot of parents use this kind of a threat-based, force-based parenting. They're going to rebel. I was a crazy, strong-willed kid. I used to get 5 spankings a day. Like literally anything my mom told me not to do, I would do it and see if she would enforce the rule. Imagine if my mom would have tried to use that force on me. I would have been like, forget you, mom. You know, I want nothing to do with the family business. And that happens in a lot of successful families. So give your child the freedom to say, I love you. I appreciate you. You have unique gifts. I want you to do great things in the world with your skill set. And then say, hey, maybe there's a way you can work in the business. Some people, their kids, they give them the freedom to go do something else. They even sometimes support them financially, even to start a business. And oftentimes they find as they mature, there's an and solution. Like, I can do my thing and support the family business. So always give your kids the gift of an and opportunity instead of either or. Either you're part of the family business or you're not, or you're part of the family or you're not. That's a really, really low level approach and an ineffective approach with your child. When you give them an and solution, they feel empowered, they feel valued for their gifts. Now they're gonna feel loved. When you feel loved, you want to spend time around people that you feel love with. If you feel forced, you want to get away from that. So create an environment of interacting with your children where they feel invited and they want to be around you more.
Exactly. I mean, recognize that we're all human, even your children. They are not possessions. They are independent people, you know, with individual thoughts and emotions and passions and drives, and tune into them and see what they want. Yes, they may want to be part of the family business if there's a family business, or they may, you know, want to follow in your footsteps. Say you're a plumber. And they see how much joy you get from plumbing because you like it, or a mechanic, and they decide to do that. But directing them into something. Yeah, people are, you know, you like make them want to do something and they want to do this the exact opposite because you're the one telling them, well, they told me I want to do this. So because they told me, even if I do or not, I'm not doing that, you know, and you have to recognize your children as individuals, you know, and they may not agree with what you agree with. One of the worst things you can do for your children is prejudge their likes and dislikes, prejudge what, you know, you want them to do, you know, as simple as your child loves baseball, but you're always pushing football on him. Well, maybe he doesn't like football. Maybe he loves baseball because that's what he watches. You know, don't force your opinion and your desires on your children. Let them talk about it. Ask them questions. Have communication with each other. You know, find out what they love and encourage them. You know, I always use my son as an example because he's loved gaming since the moment he came out of my womb, I think. And, you know, although he had boundaries and limits, he was not allowed to be a gamer forever. I never bought a game console for him, and he owned four of them, and he saved for every single one. I never bought one. Nobody bought him one. He bought them all. And then he, as he grew up, he still loved gaming. He went to college. He got a degree in gaming. He went to work for one of the top gaming companies. He met his wife in gaming. You know, they're gamers. That's their world, you know. But mm-hmm. I never diminished it, you know. And I would go and I would sit down with him and I would tell him to tell me about a game he loved. Why do you love this game? Can I play? You know, I would get involved in his passion. Just because gaming wasn't my thing didn't mean he wasn't, you know, fascinated with it, and he made a whole life and career out of it, and he does great, you know, all because he was a gamer as a child, and I didn't, you know, poo-poo it, for sake of better words. So, yes, always recognize your child's passions. I love that, and, you know, and don't give them, you know, either or. If you do this, then, you know, you're not going to do this. So, if there's a family business, what do you have recommendations of how you can best include your children into that business so that it is something they you know, grow to love or get involved in? And even at like the youngest age, how can you incorporate your family business into, you know, your kids?
Yeah, certainly. I love that you did that with your son, Celia. I think that I think the number one foundational key to empowering your children is to affirm them. We as parents have so much power with our words that we speak over our kids. And it's our job, like you said, to raise responsible adults. And oftentimes that means the burden of correcting and guiding, if it falls onto us, and we need to take that responsibility seriously. The fact that my mother was willing to correct my foolishness and my violent tendencies is why I'm not in prison for murdering someone today, following my very foolish family background, right? And so we need to take that responsibility of correcting seriously. At the same time, we don't want our kids only hearing correction from us. We want them to also hear affirmation from us. So one thing that I think is amazing, a lot of cultures have done it throughout history. They would have like a rite of passage to adulthood for a young woman and a young man. You know, in America, most, you know, in the African tribes, in the Maasai tribe, they still have young men have to go out and kill a lion. Like, this is a really major thing to be known as a man in the tribe. Big. In America, our point of reference is usually like a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. Right. Right? Most Americans are familiar with that. So what I did, you know, I'm a Christian, but I had read several books. There's a book called The Power of a Parent's Blessing. And I read another couple of books about how powerful that you could, when you bless your children at different phases of life. And so I did a bar barakar, like a Christian version of a bar mitzvah. That means son of blessing, because I have two sons, right? If I would have had a daughter, I would have had a bat barakar, daughter of blessing. And so what was powerful for them and me both, Celia, was I affirmed them as young men, and I affirmed them and said, from now on, I will talk to you as an older man advises a younger man. I will no longer say, do it because I say so, because I'm your dad. So I totally moved from correcting and guiding from a place of authority to a place of an advisor. And this is what magically happened. They both stopped rebelling against me because I honored my commitment, and I no longer told them to do stuff from a place of force. I basically like acted like a landlord. Like, you know, the house rules, if you break them, just like a landlord would give you a fine, you're going to have a consequence. And so that was such an amazing shift. So the other thing I do that I talk about a lot, how to strategically build this into your family culture, is I bless my sons. I started off doing it on a monthly basis. At first they resisted it because it felt so weird to them, but now they look forward to it. Now I bless them at least every other week, if not weekly. So I literally like put my hand on their shoulder or on their head, and I bless them in the present tense to be successful in all areas, to be successful as a friend, to be successful in school, to be successful in having clarity about what they want to do with their life. I bless them to be a great husband and a great father one day in the future. Like, but I don't use future words. I bless you now. It's all present tense. And so if you create that culture of affirmation, your children will want to be involved in your family business. So I think that is the foundational key. Affirm your children. When you do that now, they will want to learn skills from you because you're affirming them and you're not trying to force them. So whatever your kids are into, whatever they're good at, look to have them be involved in the family business using what they're good at. I think that is the best way to start. So if you have a multi-billion dollar company, or your company makes $100,000 a year, and it's usually just you run it and you have a bookkeeper, at whatever level, you use a plumbing example. I love that. Or my son's really into cars. My 20-year-old, he's going to school to be a mechanical engineer. I bought him a Lamborghini when he was 6 because he saw one at the auto show with the doors up. You know, like this kind of car right here, the Diablo.
Right.
Yeah. And he's like, what is that? And I'm like, that's a Lamborghini Diablo. The car before it was the car that I loved when I was your age. It was called a Countach. So a year later, I bought him a Diablo for his birthday. So wow. I drove him to school and every day. I used to tell people, this is my son's Lamborghini and I'm his limo driver. So, but I did that purposefully to let him know, like, if you work really hard and you're diligent, you can fulfill a dream. That's one of Solomon's teachings. A vision fulfilled is a tree of life. It enlivens you to fulfill a vision. You know, so I wanted him to like experience that at a real practical level. But he's super into cars. So I always like taught him how to change the oil. And I know to do basic stuff on cars. So we would like work on my car together and clean the air filters once a year and do little things to improve the performance. So like he showed interest in it. So I did more of that with him. He got into gaming at 16. So I used to build computers for a living. I built a gamer PC with my son, which by the way, I just found out Terry Crews, the actor, does that with his son. His son showed a lot of interest in computer games, you know, PC-based ones.
Right.
So he built a gaming PC with his son. He's like, I want to spend time with my son with whatever he's into. So whether you have a son or a daughter, I love what you just said, Celia. Like invest time in that because now they will want to be involved in the family business because you're showing interest in what interests them. So it's very easy for them. That's called reciprocity to then show interest in what interests you and learn about the family business. So if you do those two things, affirm them and do what they want to do, and then teach them what you're passionate about, they will receive that input because, you know, you're showing interest in them and they're going to want to show interest in you.
Absolutely. You know, and it applies to anything. You know, people are like, oh, you know, I tell my son or my daughter that they have to do the dishes or they have to do this, and they battle me every step of the way at doing these chores. It even comes down to that, helping out around the house. You know, maybe my husband and I, you know, our kids are grown. He does the laundry and I do the dishes because I don't like doing the laundry and he doesn't like doing the dishes. So we're 50. And you can do that with your kids. If your kids don't like vacuuming or, you know, something, you can say, so what do you like to do? If you had to pick anything around the house that you could be responsible for, what would it be? Give them the choice. And you know what? When you give choices to your kids, when you recognize that they actually have brains and can come up with their own ideas and can contribute, you show them how much you respect them and trust them. Because that's not a given. That's built. That's earned between two people. And when you give them that trust and respect, they give it back to you. You know, and when they're teenagers, you want them to know that this is my home. This is where I belong. Because if they don't feel like they belong with you, if they feel like they're battled and they're beaten and they're, you know, everything they say is dismissed, they'll go find their tribe somewhere else and it will probably not be good. So,
yes.
So, I, you know, I, I love that, you know, what you said too about, you know, learning how to be, you know, we're learning how to work on his car. And you know, what went on there is learning to take care of what you have, taking responsibility for what you have. And it could be a car, it could be a pet, it could be books, you know, it can be anything, taking care of what you have and knowing that, you know, you're lucky to have that. Being grateful, going back to being grateful, going back to, you know, all the things that some of the things we previously talked about doing your best and caring, you know, and not taking things personally. You know, there's so many good qualities to teach kids. And, you know, so anyway, I go off on tangents. So I didn't even ask you, what are the ages of your kids and where are they right now in life?
Yeah, my two children are 20 and 16. So my wife's from the Philippines. I lived there when I was 10 years old as a kid and fell in love with their culture because we were on welfare at the time when my mom was in nursing school and I complained about being poor. After living in the Philippines for a summer in the poorest barrio in Manila, like I literally had friends whose parents had sold them for food to those human trafficking rings because they were starving to death. They're like, hey, we got four kids. If you saw one of them, the rest of us can survive the next 2 years. It was that level of poverty. They made less than a dollar a day, the average adult, when I lived there. But they were so generous, such generous and loving people. So when I came back, I never complained about being poor anymore. And I forgot I said it, but I told my mom, I'm going to marry a Filipino one day. So met my wife at work here in Detroit when I moved to Detroit. And she came here as a nurse and I used to do x-rays straight out of college. And yeah, we've raised our two sons right next to Ford World headquarters in Metro Detroit. Interesting enough, I moved 47 times growing up, Celia. And so I had committed to two things at 17. One, wherever I'm gonna marry one person because my stepdad was married 10 times, my mom was married 5 times. So I realized finding the right spouse was not the answer. And then I was like, I'm gonna commit to being a great husband and father and just grow as a man so that I can maintain that relationship, right? And then number two, I committed that I want to give my children a stability I never had. So we take our sons to the Philippines, we take them around the world, but they've lived their whole life with the same friends, same church. They've had the stability I didn't have. So praise God, I was able to commit, honor those two commitments that I made.
What a blessing. What a blessing. And so good that you decided to break that generational cycle. You know, that you made the decision, this stops here. You know, all this craziness that's going on with my relatives and my family is not going to continue into my family. And, you know, that takes such strength and desire and passion to do that because there's a lot to do with that. That's, you know, not easy. And, you know, it's in my mission to stop parents from yelling at their kids, it's often that parent that I'm working with that says, everybody's been yelling for generations. And if I don't stop this now, my children are going to yell at their children. My grandchildren yell at my grandchildren. It'll go on forever. So really, right. You taking action on that, David, is, I mean, so commendable and just so impressive. So please tell our listeners where they can reach out to you, where they can learn more about you, what you do, and all of that, and your books.
Yeah, certainly. So there's two main places. I mean, I'm on social media. My name is David Roy Newby, R-O-Y, middle name, N-E-W-B-Y, last name. My name literally means beloved King Newby. So I like to have fun with that. If I go to a networking meeting, I'm like, hello, I'm beloved King Newby, beloved, you know, David Roy Newby. It's a way to remember it. Beyondbillions.com. That's my latest book. You know, I have a website for that. Also, DavidRoyNewby.com, my name. That has links to a lot of my things. And then I'm David Roy Newby on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. I think all three of those, my name is David Roy Newby, all three places. And then if someone would like to learn about how to utilize some of these strategies that we've talked about, like specifically with the family business, you know, creating that culture of affirmation, skills transfer. And the other big thing we help people is create redundancy in your business, meaning have a succession plan where the kids are going to take over it, but sometimes your kids change their mind. So have a backup succession plan. We have a program called Legacy Builders, where we help people very strategically use Solomon's wisdom to create a generational plan for 3 to 5 generations of the family. And that's in the family culture, in the business, and also in charitable endeavors. So if someone wants to learn more about that, legacybuilders.co, not .com, .co, like company, is our website for that.
Love that. Love that. Well, I'm so grateful that you were on, and, you know, so much valuable information you've shared, and really getting to the heart of the family and what the heart of a legacy is, you know, the truth in legacy. And so if you could give our listeners one more bit of advice or a tip, what would it be?
I would say give your kids the gift of contrast, meaning give them the gift of letting them know what your parents and your grandparents overcame so that they can appreciate where you're at. And even if you're a billionaire and you're like, how do I can't give my kids the gift of being poor and having to work hard to build something, to still give your kid the gift of contrast. So there's two ways you can do that, by telling them and by experience. So like, if you're super wealthy, when you go down to Cancun or whatever resort you like to visit and go travel to, take a day out of that 4-day trip and go visit the poor barrio right next door, a couple kilometers away from that resort. And let them, like when I take my kids to the Philippines, I actually reconnected with my old friends. I found my old neighbor from my barrio in 1984 where I lived. So right now you can't go to the Philippines because of all these lockdowns. But on our next trip, when we go to the Philippines, I'm actually going to take them for a day and we're going to stay at my old neighbor's house. I want them to live for a day in the barrio that I lived in. So given that contrast of, wow, like my dad's experience was not always staying in these fancy schmancy places where our in-laws live. Like, you know, let them experience poverty, even if it's just for a few hours or a day. It gives them that contrast to really appreciate. The other thing is, in your family, don't hide skeletons in the closet. I almost killed my son when he was 9 months old, Celia. So only night my dad ever slept at my house, and my son would not stop crying, and my wife was working midnights. I'm like having fear of embarrassment. Like, man, I don't know how to take care of my kid. He'd been crying for 20 minutes and wouldn't stop. I changed his diaper. I fed him. I burped him. I checked his temperature. I mean, what else is there to do? He didn't have a temperature. He wasn't wet, and he was fed. And my frustration started turning into anger. And I'm like, I realized I was holding him against my chest. I'm like, this is how people kill their kids. They smother their kids sometimes by accident. So thank God I realized this is not going to end well. And I checked his diaper again, and he was wet again. Once I changed him the second time, he stopped crying. But like, I was planning to tell my son about that when he got married. But I called my mom the next day, and I'm like, Mom, what in the world is this? You were always so loving. You never once disciplined me in anger. You always did it very productively and calmly. And she's like, oh, that's the spirit of murder. Your grandfather murdered your grandmother in front of me when I was 8, and your great-grandfather killed your great-grandmother. Here I was thinking that I'm not genetically related to my stepdad who killed my one brother, right? But I realized this is not just my stepdad. This was a pattern going back 3 generations.
Right.
So if there's some kind of a thing like that you're ashamed about, like at a bare minimum, tell your kids about it and empower them to deal with things that may come up for them so that they know about it ahead of time. So give them the gift of contrast and give them the gift of appreciating what they've come from and what the family has overcome. Because if I didn't give my sons that gift, so now I actually told my sons about it and said, here's how you strategically deal with it. And then I went a step further. So I went and told the world. I got invited to speak at the Harvard Club in Boston. And I told that story. There's like the thing I was most embarrassed about and ashamed about, and this whole generational pattern of murder, I basically turned this weakness into my biggest asset. I talked very openly about it. And after that speech, I got invited to speak to 120 billionaires overseas. So when you give your children the gift of knowing what you've overcome and appreciation and contrast, now you can, amazing doors will open. Like that is the ultimate level of humility, to talk about the thing that you would normally never want to talk about. So at a bare minimum, you don't have to go and tell the world like I did, but at a bare minimum, tell your children what the family has overcome so that they're, number one, know something that they might deal with. And number two, they can be very, very strategic and appreciate the contrast of where they're at versus where the family was before.
Exactly. Exactly. That's such great advice. Such great advice. Be authentic with your kids. And like, you know, if your kids are struggling with something and it's something you experienced recently or as a kid, talk about it. How did you feel? How did you react? Because you know what that also they discover is that their parents are human. You're not God. There's only one God. It's not you. So, you know, connect with the humanity that exists between you and your children and your family, and stuff happens. It happens, you know? And so it's, you know, it's so important to talk about that and to be authentic with your kids. That's such great advice.
Yeah, and don't compare your journey to someone else too, Celia. I love that you're like, hey, learn how to stop yelling with your kids. It doesn't have to be as extreme and traumatic as like murder, like that I dealt with, right? But it's like, if I can really strategically face that and even empower my kids to face it, you can help your kids deal with whatever the bad patterns were, whether it's adultery, whether it's poor money management, whether it's whatever it is, you know, life is life. The issues of the heart are the issues of the heart, no matter how much money you have. So just like you just said, having that humility and sharing your journey, it's so empowering to them that, wow, okay, my parent is my authority, but they're humble and they're willing to admit faults with me. And so I can do the same thing. So that's like the ultimate expression of humility that you just, that's great, great advice you just gave.
Exactly. Exactly. And it shows you love and care about them. You love and care about them now. You love and care about their future. You know, you respect them, you trust them, you honor them. And they're not just possessions. You know, your children are, we're raising adults, not children. So, you know, you need to do what you need to do to make that grown up a great grown up. So, David,
yes.
I am totally blessed to have you on the show. I'm really grateful that you were here. Such valuable information. And I hope, you know, you'll come back one day and we'll talk more. I will put all of the ways that people can connect with you in the description of this podcast, and reach out if you have questions. You know, reach out. It's a sign of strength to ask for help and to get advice and to grow and to educate yourself and your kids. So do it. It's a sign of weakness to just think you know everything. Nobody knows everything. You know, maybe God. I'm not sure if God knows everything. He might even admit, he or she, I don't know which it is, he or she might even admit that they don't know everything. But, you know, make education a part of your life and practice it and be the role model for your kids. Well, thank you, David Roy Newby. I'm excited that you're here, and I hope you have a wonderful day. To all my listeners, I wish you guys peace, love, tons of laughter. You know, it really is the best medicine. So laugh more. Yeah. It's funny. Stuff is funny. Okay. I'll talk to you later. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Celia.
Thank you for listening to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Be sure to head over to pumpedupparenting.com to grab your free copy of the Patient's Playbook. Wishing there was a manual for your toddler? Well, good news, now there is. You can pick up your copy of Raising Happy Toddlers, How to Build Great Parenting Skills and Stop Yelling at Your Kids, my newest release on Amazon today. Tune in next time for more tips, advice, and strategies as you continue to pump up your parenting and create childhoods that everyone can blossom from. Have yourself a really fun day. Bye-bye.